Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your support. If you like this show, you can take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. That really helps a lot. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Macroaggression, where I am arguing with robots, probably. But I do it anyway, because I don't know. What are we going to do? Hey, the point of this whole show, Macroaggressions, I think, is to talk about government fuckery, but also to get us prepared for what's coming. So I am of the opinion you should be maybe a month or two early rather than a day or two late. So to help us with that, My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to create a landing page for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And there's a link for that in the show notes. But if you want to go and check it out there, you can get yourself ready, because God knows we're going to need it. You can get yourself storable food there right now. They're running a deal for on a 3-month supply of food. It's the best deal they've had in years. I don't know how long it will last, but the math on it works out to like $7 per day. And you get four meal, or you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner plus a snack, and it feeds a family of four. I mean, good luck trying to do that in the United States for $7 a day, but we've got it in the form of storable food. Hopefully you don't need it. Hopefully you're already taken care of, but in the event that you want to hook up yourself or maybe family members, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and just knock it out in about 10 minutes. And if you don't want to use my sponsor, that's okay too. Just next time you're at the grocery store, load up on some additional items, slowly start to build up a backlog. What's the worst that happens? You've got extra food. You should be so lucky. I really feel that this is a situation where we want to be as proactive as we can. We've got supply chain issues. We've got food processing plants blowing up. We don't want to sit around and wait for the media to tell you it's time to panic. Be early, get involved, prepare with macroaggressions.com. It's the easiest place to do that. And we certainly do appreciate your support. Also to our newest sponsor, Solar Power Lifestyle. Speaking of getting yourself ready for like things that are coming, have a backup power system if you can, if you're in a position to, if you want a backup power system, you can go to solarpowerlifestyle.com. Use the promo code macro. They have everything there. They have all the brands. They have little kits. They have big kits. They have them for your house, your cabin, your vacate. You know, if you've got a place out in the woods, they've got that. If you're driving around the country in your van, they've got solar panels for that. If you just need it for your work site, job site, that's sort of in a place where you don't have a whole lot of power, we've got portable devices. They have everything. If you, it's a veteran-owned company, small business. They like the show, listen to the show. We connected because of the show. We certainly do love that. They have free shipping inside the continental United States. lowest price guaranteed. If you find, if you buy something from them and then a month later you find it at a lower price, they'll match that. That's fantastic. They're also, if you need financing, they have financing available too. So don't let the price of a solar system scare you away. If you need it, they can make it tenable for you. And also, if you spend more than $100, then they give $10 to charity of your choice. They're good people. It's a veteran owned business, family owned business, small business, you know, all the things that we like. So do this. At the very least, just go to solarpowerlifestyle.com and look around. Just shop around, see what you think. If there's something that you think you might want or something that you want to get for your family, just use the promo code MACRO on your way out. It'll save you a little bit of money, and we can certainly use that. So thank you to the folks over there. Well, I'll tell you, this episode is going to be really important for us to learn about. We're going to need to know this information. I don't want people to be scared of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some serious things. But it needs to be, we need to talk about it because we can't pretend that this stuff isn't happening just because it's far away from us. So I'm excited. We've got Mitchell Gerber here. He's going to talk to us. He is in Southeast Asia right now. And we're going to talk about what you have found with Falun Gong in China. This is a topic that really gives me the creeps because, you know, this is what happens when you're a minority in a country. And I'm so interested to hear your work. So first of all, thanks, Mitchell, for coming to the show. We appreciate you. And you were on Ricky with Ricky Verandas on the Ripple Effect, of course. And Ricky and I do a show together. And so I saw your work there, and I thought, oh boy, okay, this is some heavy duty stuff. So thanks for coming here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you wound up in this, reporting on what you're seeing in China.
Well, Charlie, I really appreciate it. I've been watching your show as well with Ricky. And when I was on Ricky, I discovered you. And it's just been fabulous. The content that you have, the audience that you communicate with is fantastic. And that's why I reached out to you. Because this form of evil that I have been investigating is a Judeo-Christian, God-fearing man. I am originally from South Africa. And then I moved to the States and I became an American citizen, first in my family, went to a top 10 business school. I was about to intern. I was interning in a prestigious investment firm, all about money and beautiful women and the fancy things in life. But then one day I was at a human rights arts and crafts festival at Athens, Georgia, where I was attending, and a lot of good rock bands have come out of Athens. And yeah. I came across a spiritual type of yoga, Tai Chi meditation practice that I was very attracted to. I was very intrigued because I was partying a lot. I had a lot of illness, ailments, and nothing ill. I've never been an ill person, but I've always loved working out and martial arts and yoga and Tai Chi. But something attracted me, which was a movement from China, a spiritual movement from China that incorporates five exercises and a deeply spiritual philosophy of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. Whether you're religious or spiritual, it doesn't really matter, because we all need a little bit of truthful, compassionate, tolerant essence, you know, whether in business or life or love. So I went up to this booth and I'm like, Falun Gong, Falun Dafa, self-improvement practice from China. I thought, this is pretty neat. Went into the university park, and I started to practice these exercises. And Charlie, immediately my whole body just felt incredibly open, like boom, 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 boom. Like these energy channels I came to learn just started to open up in my back. I felt incredibly healthy and rejuvenated and peaceful. And in a very short amount of time, my stress levels really reduced. And I was like, this is some good stuff, man. Can I learn more about it? So I went back to the booth and I was like, okay, this is when I was very heavily involved in business. And I love business. I love relationships. I love connections. I love, you know, going out and doing my thing. I still work out a lot and, you know, eat well, you know, I party a little bit as well. I enjoy the finer things in life. I enjoy people. You know, you've got to put the fun back in dysfunction, especially in this crazy time we're living in.
Yeah, you do.
That's a good say, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, So anyway, I came back to the table and I was very blissed out, very similar to like when I'm doing yoga and Tai Chi. I mean, I'm sure people can appreciate that, and your listeners, you know, the health and wellness of the world. And I looked to the right and I was like, I'm starting to get a little cringed out and uncomfortable. Stop the brutal persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. I was like, what is all this? And I see all these torture methods and all these bad pictures of people being killed. And I was like, wait a minute. I just come from a beautiful spiritual blissed out session and I'm going to be resorted to this cringe, this violence, this crazy. So something said to me, wait a minute, Mitch, take a look, get involved, get educated. And that's what I did, Charlie. And I realized that this spiritual movement that became the life force of China, this largest spiritual movement in China, out of Buddhism and Taoism and all the religions, Catholicism, Christianity, which are also heavily suppressed in China, this spiritual movement, namely Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, became the largest spiritual movement in China. One out of every 12 Chinese national citizens from all walks of life were practicing. The highest ranking military officials, half of upper class society were practicing this, celebrities, musicians, you know, just all different kinds of people, very successful business people and entrepreneurs. And they were seeing, based on the Chinese estimates, government estimates, millions of dollars of healthcare costs were being reduced. The Chinese government was praising the spiritual movement, namely Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, as a crime-fighting movement that was reducing crime rates, suicide rates, domestic violence rates were going down. Productivity rates in the factories were increasing because the quality really increases. Because when you have a healthy mind, I think Tony Robbins and Eckhart Tolle and a lot of these gurus were saying, healthy mind, healthy body, healthy spirit. 70-80% of the mind controls 30% of the body. The body moves with the mind. So if you've got a healthy mind, your body rejuvenates. It's all what your mind perceives, your body will achieve. And so the power of the mind controls everything. So this was affecting a large amount of people in China, 100 million people by 1998. But under a communist regime, as I'm living under one right now, okay, risking my life, targeted individual, okay, I'm not in Kansas anymore, everybody. Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up. In a communist country, you are not allowed to be critically thinking. That's, you don't have constitutional rights. You don't have gun rights. You don't have self-sovereignty. You haven't got the freedom of speech. You haven't got those kind of privileges, okay, that you would have in a Western country compared to in a communist country. You're state-owned. And so when the number of people practicing outnumbers the number of people in the Chinese Communist Party by 30 million people, the communist regime's leadership will not like that. So that's exactly what happened. Falun Gong, the spiritual movement, became the largest spiritual movement in China. And the military dictator at the time, in the 1990s, not President Xi at this moment, he's taken on this genocide. He hasn't ended it yet. He's continuing to be the poster boy or the poster child or the poster man of the CCP, unfortunately. But at that time, it was Jiang Zemin, that not many people know. He was the former head of the CCP. He outlawed this practice, banned Falun Gong, that to this day, you're not allowed to practice the spiritual movement, and started to round up hundreds and thousands of these innocent people, just like the Uyghur Muslims. I'm sure a lot of people know about the Uyghurs and the House Christians and the Tibetans with the Dalai Lama going around the world and advocating for their freedoms. But the Falun Gong, the largest group, rounded up and sent a state mandate to hospitals, Charlie, and over 252 concentration camps, resorted to and reduced to raw material, slave labor, forced labor, and then organ harvesting, pillaging, on demand, state sanctioned, run by the Chinese military, fueling a multi-billion dollar business. So that's why I'm on your show and sharing what I know.
Good Lord. I mean, it's hard to know where to start with that. The Chinese government, and I've been to China, I've been to Hong Kong, I've seen China, and I've seen China light, you know, Hong Kong. And there is a certain vibe to mainland China. It is not, you know, it is not one of, well, I don't know. Free expression is sort of, I don't know. It never seemed like it was free expression. It seemed like it was within the accepted guidelines of expression. And we hear about their top-down authoritarian policies. And so I can understand from a psychopathic state mentality that anything like this could be seen as destabilizing to the powered interests there. You can't have the slaves thinking for themselves. I mean, that just won't work in if you're trying to run an authoritarian regime. But it is, you would think though that, like you said, that they were starting to see increased productivity, decreases in healthcare being spent. And if we're talking about a communist Chinese government, well, they're having to spend this money. So this would, I would see this as a sales pitch to them. Like, this is fantastic. Your productivity's through the roof. Your people are happier. Your health, your costs are down, but your revenue's up theoretically. Productivity is increasing. This is a win-win, except that it reminds me of the Terrence McKenna quote where he's talking about, you know, how, or actually it was Graham Hancock talking about how the ruling hierarchies don't appreciate psychedelics because it opens you up to the possibility that everything that you know is wrong and that everything is not working. So I would assume that if you're, and I have never practiced this, I'm assuming it's a martial art.
More a spiritual discipline, a mind and body practice.
Spiritual. Yeah. I've never practiced this before, but I would assume that it would raise your level of consciousness, maybe allow Correct. You to see over some of the nonsense. And if you're trying to run a country that is authoritarian, that just cannot happen. So what's the first step when they decide that this is going to happen, that this cannot be allowed to flourish in China any longer? You said this is 1998 or so. So what's the first step? Do they demonize it and tell all these high-ranking people, all these celebrities and business people, hey, you need to cut that stuff out? And or do they just immediately start shipping people off to camps? Like, how does this process work? And the reason why I ask is because I want to make sure that if our government ever decides to start doing this to us, we understand what the pattern is or what the strategy is. So
No. I love your eloquency because it's exactly what they were afraid of. They couldn't control the hearts and the minds of the people. You know, the CCP is a mass murdering regime.
Yeah.
The Chinese culture, the 5,000 years of Chinese culture is beautiful. I mean, the Chinese people are hardworking. They're good traditional people that love their freedoms just like the Americans. Okay. Just like the Western people, they love our Western culture more. They're very influenced because they see the freedoms that we have, the critical thinking, the freedom of speech, the constitutional laws, the way we think about things. It's the way we think. Mm. They don't want that totalitarian state anymore, that draconian policies, those lockdowns, which have been exported to the West, unfortunately, with political correctness and cancel culture and all that. And it's first started off the Chinese government. First of all, China and the Chinese people are not the CCP. The Chinese government is not even the CCP. The 5,000 years of China's culture is not the CCP. The CCP was a reign of terror, an imposterous cult that was created by a globalist cabal, a satanic globalist cabal that infiltrated into China at the height of the World War II chaos. There was, you know, and the ruins of China.
Yeah.
And this was backed by the Rothschilds. Mao Zedong was backed by the Rothschilds, the Khazanah Mafia, the Rockefellers. They had a great vested interest in controlling China. They installed Mao. And through the Great Cultural Revolution, 80 million people, 60 to 80 million people were wiped out. The desecration of, it's crazy. The desecration of the temples, the desecration of the traditional values, the ethnocide, the disconnect to a godly higher power or source of morality. So when the persecution and the started of our Falun Gong, it started with the simple demonization, the deluge of propaganda inside and outside of China. First insight, day after day, the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party used their television stations, their news networks, their newspapers. There's only one state-sanctioned central television in China, okay, that is controlled by the CCP, and they used that to demonize Falun Gong, calling it a CIA-backed cult, a political terrorist group that wants to take over the Chinese government. If you practice this, you are liable to kill yourselves and burn yourselves. They staged a self-immolation to demonize Falun Gong as a so-called cult. This is how they turn people against each other, inciting hatred, scapegoating. Just what they did with conservatives in America, calling them Nazis and fascists and white supremacists. Mm-hmm. They used this to incite hatred between black and white people. And nowadays, you know what, Charlie? The average American just wants to survive.
I know.
They don't care about whether you're black or white. They don't care.
It's pretty far down on the list as far as
pretty far on the list.
That we care about. And it's like, as David Icke says, I'm wearing a white spacesuit, you're wearing a black spacesuit. Who cares? You know?
Who cares? But they weaponize that. And they use it as the focal point. And that's exactly what the CCP has done. Actually, the CCP's playbook in infiltration, inciting hatred, division, and control has been used by these traitors in the Republic to turn black against white, to peg American against American. So in the beginning, in order to send a large amount of people, namely Falun Gong, Uyghur Muslims, House Christians, to these state-mandated hospitals, they have to weaponize the mayans. Mm-hmm. They have to incite the hatred. They have to demonize, vilify, marginalize the group. This is how the CCP has always done it. They will peg or pin 95% of the population against 5% of the population with incestuous lies, demonization tactics and propaganda, and they'll use their military, they'll use their hospitalization system, they'll use their multinational corporations, they'll use their media to demonize, to target a specific group and vilify them intentionally. You know, an experiment done by the KGB that if you brainwash somebody for 1 week straight, that person will completely believe what you have to say. They won't question it. They won't question the narrative. And this is what the CCP has installed into the psyche of the Chinese person. And when you install it into the psyche of the Chinese person or the American psyche, that Trump is evil, Orange Man banned. I'm giving you an example.
Yeah.
Anyone, you know, God-fearing Americans are evil patriots. Patriots is a trigger word for white supremacists, etc.
Right.
You know, that's my business. Yeah. This is the first stage of genocide, to demonize, to infiltrate the mind, and then to use the mind to incite hatred against somebody else. So this is what the CCP has done. It's a psychological warfare.
Yes.
Then they have the go-ahead to say, okay, yeah, these people are evil. These people need to be re-educated. But we're not going to send them off to concentration camps to kill them for their organs. We care about them. They'll play the savior. Mm-hmm. We're saving them from themselves, and we're just going to go re-educate them back into society.
Right.
And the common folk will be like, okay, yeah, you have a point. Let's go with that, because we're only trying to help them for the greater good, you know? We'll force the vaccines
for the greater good.
For the greater good. Yeah. It's safe and effective. Take them, regardless of all these people that are dying and being destroyed, for the greater good. We'll force it on you because, you know what I'm saying? This is the tactic, right? So they'll send hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners to these state-mandated hospitals, cut their organs out of their bodies while alive, for the greater good, okay? While they're being re-educated, and the propaganda will be like, this is what we're doing. We're helping the Falun Gong return to society, the Uyghur Muslims. They're cult-like people. It's like the murderer playing the savior, deceiving the people that they are the murderer, by playing the savior, the wolf in sheep's clothing, and then all in all, they're making money, massive amounts of money off the victim.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's psychological warfare. This is what Hitler did. This is what Mussolini did. This is what Stalin did, to kill as many people as possible in the name of the greater good.
What a psychopathic way of thinking. But of course, it's not surprising that we understand this. I'm curious though, in America, you know, we've got a sort of a mixed group here. You can identify people by skin color, but in China, well, it's not as blended. So how do they identify who is Falun Gong and who is not? This is a practice that I would assume, obviously you can go to a place and do that with other people, but I would assume this is something you can do in the privacy of your own home. How do people get outed as being a part of this group? And was that just a factor of like weaponizing your neighbor to like call the police on the guy next door? I think he's one of them. You know, you might want to go check him out. What was the identification? Because we know that you mentioned steps of genocide and demonization is one of them for sure. Identification is another one. So how do you identify these Falun Gong practitioners as opposed to just somebody else that looks just like you, but has a different belief system?
That's a great question. The weaponizing of the neighbors is one of them as well. Yeah. The social credit score, the CCTV and the tracking, the bio tracking in China is so severe that when you register, on my phone, I am in a communist China, a communist country. I have to register all my medical details, my affiliations, everything. They know exactly who you are, where you are, by your retina scanning, everything. And this is why it's so important to realize that the social credit score system, you have to obey at all costs the CCP, or you'll be reduced to nothing. You can't be able to ride bicycles, buses, anything. So what happened with the Falun Gong, the numbers grew so quickly, Charlie. 100 million people, 70 to 100 million people. That's one out of every 13 Chinese national citizens by 1998, just through word of mouth alone. Wow. Tens of millions of people practicing this beautiful spiritual movement. I've practiced it. I've read the literature. There's nothing cultish about it. I come from a Judeo-Christian family. I'm a believer in God. I don't want anything woo-woo. I don't want anything religious. I don't want anything cultish. I know my sense of discernment at this point in time, I know who to align with and not to align with. There are evil cults expanding their evil influence nowadays. You have to pay massive amounts of money. But when you align with something beautiful and peaceful and organic, like Falun Gong, I can understand why it has been targeted. So that you had a huge group of people with the affiliation to Falun Gong being targeted. And how they did it is because once they started to talk bad about Falun Gong, a lot of people would protest. In 1998, when the persecution, before the persecution or the ban of Falun Gong began, you had tens of thousands of people marching peacefully to the Capitol compound buildings in Beijing called Zhongnanhai. And they wanted to talk to the communist officials and say, listen, stop writing bad things about Falun Gong. It's a healthy practice. It's causing millions of dollars of healthcare costs being reduced. Don't do it. Well, in order not to be arrested, they would not give their names. So you had this huge victim pool of donors, of victims, that they were just rounded up by the military, forcefully blood tested. But again, when you have one out of 13 Chinese people, you are registered in a database based on your affiliation, as well as the Uyghur Muslims registered in the database based on affiliation. So the tracking is so accurate. This is why I say to the American population, be careful of registering anything in the database, because they got you tracked. Your financial information, mm-hmm. your spiritual information, your religious information, your medical records.
Right.
Okay. So you have to show if you're of the Christian faith, the Buddhist faith, the Falun Gong, they all got you targeted. You got you tracked in the credit score system. It is so detailed and intricate. That's how they control you. Wow. So when they saw this massive amounts of population, this is how they really understood who were Falun Gong and who were not. Who were Muslims, Uyghur Muslims, and who were not. And there are specific areas of populations that they see the, you know, you know, this in particular, this area, there's X amount of Falun Gong, X amount of Christians, X amount of Uyghurs. They have it in the database. This is how they track.
Yeah, that's really scary. So you
it is really scary.
Yep. You can go get collected by this by the government at any time, right? They're basically going to figure you out. Did they give the people an opportunity to sort of renounce it and just say, "I'm not interested in this. Don't take me to the camps. I'm not interested. I didn't know you guys were. I didn't know you guys were serious. I'm just playing around. Don't come kill me." Or was it just like secret police at your door?
At your door, torture methods. You have up to 1 million Uyghurs in a camp being tortured,
Jesus.
Ethnically cleansed. Yeah. You've got over 252 concentration camps that were set up, hospitals set up to do live organ harvesting. Charlie, this is a state-sanctioned genocide. This is a new form of evil. Yeah. Using a social credit score apparatus to track and target people of a specific faith. Because the organs become really healthy. They specifically targeted Falun Gong and knew where they were, like cattle, okay? In order to state-sanctioned, on-demand, fuel a multi-billion dollar business. So they tracked where the specific mass population of Falun Gong practitioners or Uyghur Muslims or House Christians were in order to round them up. And then send them to state-mandated hospitals. Up to 100 millions in a camp at one time, forcefully blood-tested to track, tissue-tested, eye-tested, okay? And through the information that they are forced to give, okay? That's why a lot of people have become homeless, desolate, destitute, because they refuse to be in the system. And when you're not in the system of communist China, you can't get a job, you can't get any benefits, you can't even ride a station. That's how intricate the social credit score is. This is what the West doesn't realize. And we're losing those freedoms by implementing the so-called system of tracking that is so wonderful. All the chips in the arm, that people think they go through Amazon and they say, okay, pay, you know, cashless society.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. This is all leading to social credit score. So again, how they would get people to renounce is, I'll take away your bank accounts. I'll freeze your bank accounts. Mm. You won't have a job. I'll take away your children. I'll torture you. But it goes further than that. They want to make money off the Falun Gong organs because the organs became the healthiest in the world, healthiest in China. So not only did they want them to renounce, okay, they wanted to kill them for their organs, destroy all the birth certificates, and then use the bodies to sell to the body exhibitions and the body worlds. You know the body worlds, the body exhibition, body world?
Yeah.
It's worth $60 to $70 million, all the body world exhibitions where all these Chinese people are on display for all their, doing certain activities, sports activities, and very creepy. I don't know if you've ever been to one of them. But those are Falun Gong practitioners' bodies. The skin's been removed, or the organs have been extracted. They've been embalmed and then sent off to be used on display in these body worlds that are making a fortune off these bodies and organs. So, this is how serious it is.
This is crazy, but it's like you lead a healthy lifestyle, right? You don't drink and you take care of yourself, and that's part of this practice, this Falun Gong practice, is to
improve your mind, your body will follow. But this is, to put this in America-centric terms, this is like if the Democrats got in power and just said, no more elections, right? We're just in charge. And then they rounded up all the Mormons, because the Mormons don't drink and don't smoke and don't have caffeine and have lead theoretically cleaner lifestyles than somebody else. And they just got all the Mormons and put them in a camp and worked them to death. And then when John Podesta's buddy needs a lung, then he goes to the factory store and they match him up with a Mormon that has the same blood type and tissue type. And then this guy flies to the camp and they take that guy out and shoot him real quick and then take his lung, right? Is that kind of like made to like parts on demand, body by, you know, ordering like Amazon for body parts?
Exactly. Kill to order.
Kill to order. Holy shit.
Yes, we were in the British Parliament with Dr. Enver Totti, who is a surgeon turned bus driver. He fled to London, but he told the story, and I brought my coalition to testify in front of the British Parliament at a child trafficking court around 2018. 52 pieces of evidence confirmed, and we had the former Secretary of State of the Asian Affairs of the Canadian Parliament, David Kilgore, who's no longer with us, by the way. Ethan Gutman, who was a Nobel Peace Prize nominee for writing his book, The Slaughter, a 10-year investigation of the Uyghurs' ethnic cleansing and genocide, as well as the Falun Gong. And Dr. Enver Totti, who was a surgeon who was forced by the CCP to commit organ harvesting of a prisoner of conscience. And his grief was so much that it just engulfed him that he had to leave. And this is kill to order, like a grotesque lobster in a restaurant, being taken out and then cut open on a specified date. And you just nailed it. Basically, they would find a match through a blood test, forcefully blood tested. In camp number one, they'll take the poor Falun Gong practitioner, they'll lie him on an operating table, give him a little bit of potassium to sedate him. Instead of holding him down by four soldiers, the doctor would then cut open all the organs while alive, because the fresher the organs, the healthier the organs, the more money it takes. If he's dead, the organs aren't really worth anything. Plus, the prisoners, the CCP has said that they've banned organ tourism, organ harvesting, and all the harvesting that they did were from convicted criminals. But the numbers don't add up. They say 10,000 organs were taken out. But that doesn't make sense. And most of those criminals in the prison systems have hepatitis B. They have all kinds of diseases that cause the organs to malfunction. With Falun Gong, they don't smoke, they don't drink, like you said with the Mormons, Christians as well. And so they're very healthy. They practice the Falun Gong exercises, which are quite profound in mind and body. They have a healthy mindset. So the body becomes rejuvenated. They saw this through the investigations of the medical associations of China and the military hospitals of China over the eight-year period of this practice, seeing overwhelming health benefits. All ailments and injuries and illnesses were being miraculously healed based on scientific evidence. And so they were seeing this, and so they rounded up all Falun Gong practitioners, sent them to state-mandated hospitals and death camps and forced labor camps and over 252 re-education centers and camps to cut their organs out of their bodies. And you're right. Just a police signature is all you need, a forcefully blood test, matching with a buyer who calls the camp, who calls the military hospital and says, I heard that Falun Gong organs are the freshest. I want those. And the doctor on tape, we have them, on tape, saying, yeah, sure, we have fresh organs, quantity, quality on demand, quality assurance, come on over. They schedule the appointment. The buyer flies to Shanghai, first military hospital. The Falun Gong practitioner is then taken out of the camp that matches the blood type of the buyer. The organs are then extracted while alive, placed on ice, flown to the patient or the buyer in Shanghai. It has been done. The transplantation surgery has been done. And that's it. $500,000 later, 10 days, in a matter of days, a matter of weeks.
And this is run by the state itself, or is it, because you know, we have these state and then we have like these hybrid companies that are allowed to exist because of the state. It's not been privatized, or it's just CCP to its core. I guess I would imagine have to be, right?
CCP to its core, run by the Chinese military, PLA, and the highest ranking forms of the Chinese Communist Party. This is state sanctioned murder, state endorsed and run by the Chinese military. But it has created, the CCP has created a global enterprise with the colluding with the Transplantation Society, the Vatican, the deep state cabal, the medical associations, the world governments, because this is a multi-billion dollar business going on for 25 years now. State sanctioned on demand. This is not some kidney in the bathtub,
folks. Yeah.
This is state sanctioned on demand. There's no other regime on the face of the earth that is running this state-sanctioned murder. Now, Planned Parenthood, I have to share this with you. Planned Parenthood, for those who know about Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood basically, and I'll just share with you about Planned Parenthood, Charlie. They were caught in a deal, and we have the evidence to prove this. They were caught in a deal, a $528 million deal with Li Bing. And Li Bing is the director of the Chinese Communist Party's National Health and Family Planning Commission. And get this, in 2016, that Li Bing, who is the director of the Chinese National Health and Family Planning Commission, the CCP, announced that it would contribute $528 million to Planned Parenthood for fiscal year 2016 in exchange for the continued donation of human tissue samples. And this has made the CCP the largest repository of US DNA in the world since 2016.
Ooh, okay. That. Yeah. Now we're getting into a real dangerous area where DNA is for sale and you don't know who's buying it, or maybe you do know who's buying it, and that's even worse. If the Chinese government is buying DNA from Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million, that is really concerning. We do know about Planned Parenthood. We know it's a eugenics operation. We understand that here. At least the people sort of listening, watching the show know about them. So we don't consider them to be the good guys ever. So I'm not surprised that that they're involved in this sort of what'd you call it? Like medical tourism? They say there's no tourism there, but this is more than just getting a Brazilian butt lift in Brazil. This is getting a Chinese guy's heart when you're Dick Cheney getting his sixth heart or whatever. You know what I mean? Is sick.
And it goes deeper. It goes deeper, and even Rockefeller on his seventh heart. But a recent investigative report by the Center for Medical Progress reveals that there is sufficient evidence, and again, I've been doing this for 22 years, so I'm going to confirm this on your show, that Planned Parenthood provides the Chinese Communist Party with a large amount of DNA, tissue, and organs from aborted babies. And this evidence supports that the Chinese would use this material to develop biological weapons. Now, I want to share this with you. It goes deeper than that, okay? This is funded by Bill Gates. Okay, the CCP created the CCP created the genetic code sequence, the bioweapon agent, which was then downloaded into the DNA medicine vaccine, placing into the proprietary algorithm that generated the vaccine. And within 3 hours, they had it already designed, and it went straight into manufacturing by whom? Pfizer. And Pfizer has been colluding with the Chinese Communist Party to create and manufacture Pfizer vaccines in the United States, okay, under the subsidiary of Sinopharm. You remember Sinopharm? I'm sure you know Sinopharm, yeah?
Yeah, it's a Chinese firm.
Yes, and Fosun Pharmaceuticals in Shanghai, which is owned by a senior CCP member. And Fosun is currently manufacturing 1 billion doses of the so-called vaccine in Boston, Massachusetts, and Princeton, Can you believe this? In New Jersey, Princeton, New Jersey, where they're manufacturing and distributing not only Pfizer vials, but the PCR tests are also made by the Chinese Communist Party. That has also infiltrated into the American healthcare system, where 90% of the pharmaceuticals and medicine are coming from China.
Right. Yeah. We know about we have a real supply chain potential catastrophe with as much of a dependence on China for our medicine as we have in America, and as medicated as Americans are, as you know, growing up out here, you know, everyone, if you're sad, there's a pill for that, you know, and it's put a lot of people not just on medication, but dependent on it too. And so there's that. So we are in a very dangerous dance with China, where we're threatening them on the one hand, but we need them and we're in business with them. I don't know that I really believe all the threats of war between the two countries. When there's as much business happening behind the scenes, I feel like that trumps war. I mean, I know there's a lot of money to be made in war, but when you've got a babe, when you've got an organ harvesting racket and a pandemic scam that you're running, and you're manufacturing pharmaceutical drugs and
bioweapons
for super cheap, there, and you're profiting from all this. Holy shit! This is a recipe for a catastrophe. And of course, I think the most dangerous part of all of this is how much Washington, D.C. looks at Beijing with admiration for how they treat their people. That terrifies me. We should rightly be looking at Beijing going, we want none of that. But instead, I feel like the people at the Pentagon are going, tell us more about this social credit system. Tell us more about facial recognition cameras. How does this all interact with one another? And we can control them. We can control what they think. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, you can totally control it. Let me show you how to do it. I don't like this at all. When are we getting this social credit? I mean, I know in Shenzhen, they've already had it for a while, where, you know, you get on a bus smoking a cigarette and you get a fine and pings your phone and your score goes down a point or two. Like, that's getting exported to us in the States. When?
Well, this is where the vaccine mandates are and the COVID passports. I mean, I just saw the DeSantis in Florida, not DeSantis, but the other guy, this guy that is pushing for this new so-called governor Governor Newsom is pushing for it too in California, pushing for COVID passports. These are the social credit scores systems.
That's it. That's how they're going to sneak it in the back door through COVID.
That's it. Digital passports. The central banks are creating digital passports, CBDCs, mm-hmm. central bank digital currencies.
Yeah.
This is to control people. And I wanted to share with you, Charlie, there was a database of 1.95 million spies that have been infiltrating into the U.S. And one of them, Nautilus, listen to this. Think about this. This is a Chinese spy, U.S. Born, okay, to Chinese immigrant parents who worked as technologists for the Chinese Communist Party. And this spy graduated, listen to this, from the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, and now works within the U.S. Department of Defense in the area of computer encryption.
Jesus.
Okay. So you have CCP operatives working in our intelligence agencies, in our medical associations, manufacturing bioweapons to decimate the American military, Pfizer, AstraZeneca. I mean, don't get me started on, I mean, listen to this. The Chinese state media declares that there are 92 million CCP members in the country. The database of 1.95 million people is only a fraction of the total CCP supporters in China. So, I mean, this is where we are. I mean, IBM, Pepsi, 3M, Marriott, AstraZeneca, Dow Chemical, not to mention the criminal U.S. media like USA Today, The Time, who received $700,000. Yeah, the same magazine that said to Hunter Biden, "You're clear," and to cover up all the business deals in China. What about the Financial Times that took $371,577 from the CCP to peddle propaganda? The Los Angeles Times took $361,000. I mean, this is insane, Charlie. This is treason.
I think the Los Angeles Times is owned by a Chinese guy.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. And look at BlackRock, for example. I mean, Larry Fink. I mean, in the summer of 2021, a highly sought after deal with China's government to offer investment products, Goldman Sachs. I mean, come on, Charlie. You just sell. You have, okay, the most serious example of treason is the ChinaGate scandal in 1996. This is how I wanted it all to be related to what is going on in China with the organ harvesting and how Americans should pay attention to it and how we should really honor Falun Gong for warning us about the world, about the CCP infiltration, because no one knew about the CCP 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 15 years ago. When you talked about it, they thought, well, CCP, that sounds like a new National Basketball Association name or an NFL name. But I mean, you've got Chinagate in 1996, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Al Gore selling the military defense systems and technology of our military to China, our entire manufacturing base to the Chinese Communist Party for campaign contributions and bribes.
You've got to read Whitney Webb's new books. I just got done with them.
Love her. What a great patriot.
She does a great chapter on Chinagate in the second book. And it explains in excruciating detail who these guys were, who the Indonesians were, who the guy from Singapore was, like how they're all connected and where they were coming in with the Clintons. And it was always around updating the White House, renovating the White House. Hillary would raise money on like renovating the White House, this big scam. And it was like, oh, that's code for like, get Mark Middleton in there and we're going to give him a ton of money coming from the Chinese, And it was like a straight pipeline to China. There was no fucking around. And she lays it out like, here's all the connections and here's the times and here's the dates when they came in the White House and this is what they're doing and this is who was getting paid. And then this guy went to jail and then these guys just disappeared. And it was like, I read that and I was like, I didn't know any of this. But they've been involved in America and they've been involved in the White House since the mid-90s. And like you said, it's obviously undeniably horrible that this is happening with the Falun Gong. But if there were to ever be any sort of bright side to that, not that you could ever really have one. What if it was that this opened up the can of worms into if the CCP is doing this, what else are they doing? And then that just led you to this just overwhelming amount of evidence that they're deeply involved in the United States government, like to the highest levels.
That's exactly why I'm relating it to this on your show, to get more exposure. You nailed it brilliantly, because if we're just focusing on the Falun Gong and not all the other criminality that is going on with the Chinese Communist Party, I don't think we would have as much support garnered in exposing this mass murdering regime if it was just focused on one particular group. The reason why I have been focusing on Falun Gong is because they were the first ones to warn the world about the CCP infiltration 25 years ago when they were targeted. And they are the largest spiritual movement in China. The CCP declared war on this spiritual group and made them the number one enemy of the state. And they, who could get out of China, came to America, created the Epoch Times. I'm sure you've known the Epoch Times and NTD TV. This is all created by Falun Gong practitioners in order to expose the CCP, expose Hunter Biden. Where do you think all the intel has come from about the CCP? It has come from the Epoch Times. Tremendous. It is exploding in popularity. Everyone wants to subscribe to the Epoch Times now, because, and rightfully so, because they were the ones that gave the window, opened the door and opened the exposure window into everything that is happening in China. Epoch TV as well. I wish you had a show on Epoch TV. You would do phenomenally, Charlie.
I mean,
I know that, you know how I knew Epoch Times was right over the target was they started to get called anti-China intelligence assets and things like this. Yeah. And they were being demonized like that. They're like, oh, this is like the intelligence agencies, you know, running this fake news report. I was like, really? This seems like it's probably a little bit, like, I don't know what is going on in China because I'm not there, but it seems a little bit more believable than the official story of what's going on in China. And I know that's a lie. I don't know if Epoch Times, I don't know if they get their stuff right 50% of the time or 95% of the time, but I at least feel that they're trying to. Now, do they have an agenda? Well, yeah, they hate what the Chinese government's doing because they're constantly reporting on all the horrible shit that the Chinese government is doing. So yeah, they're like, oh, they have a slant. Like, yeah, probably. I would think so. I would.
of course. I mean, you know, the thing is that with the Epoch Times, they were created. It was first created by Chinese Falun Gong practitioners who fled China for their lives because they were being slaughtered. They were being hunted down by like raw material, rats in a gutter. I mean, and they came to America to create a media agency to expose the truth about the CCP. And it just mushroomed from there. And then they became conservative. They love traditional values. They are patriotic. And the left, the radical left, who have been colluding with the Chinese Communist Party, I don't even want to call them Democrats. These are radical leftist, right, cultural, yeah, Marxist traitors that are colluding with the Chinese Communist Party. And you know what, Charlie? I've been around, man. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. They call me right-wing conspiracy. I don't care whether you're right or left. I'm a political atheist. I don't care who you are. I don't believe in the truth. I don't care about anything but the truth, and give me evidence. And I've sat in these tribunals. I've sat in these child trafficking courts. I've rescued children from the borders of China. Okay? I support Falun Gong, and I hold them in high regard. Why? Because they're not some kind of right-wing conspiracy cult or extremists, like they call MAGA terrorists. I mean, look at Biden the other day calling half of America, 90% of America, loonies. And I'm like, what are you talking about? These people are law-abiding citizens that just love their country, love God, love their guns, and love their freedoms. They're not MAGA terrorists. They're not white supremacists. They're not racist. No. They just love their country, just like you, Charlie. And I'm just saying, like, the deluge of propaganda is out of control now. And I mean, these people are so, you know, calling the Epoch Times a right-wing conspiracy group that is a shill for Falun Gong is so sinister. It's so ridiculous. It's so let's call them out for who they are. They're communist propagandist machines that have been bought out and sold and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party to spew communist propaganda against Falun Gong, who have been slaughtered for their organs. I've never seen CNBC or MSNBC come out and talk about how dreadful the CCP has been against Falun Gong. It doesn't matter whether you practice it. I don't care if you're an Oompa Loompa in the goddamn chocolate factory. But have some kind of empathy to people who have been slaughtered. Confirmed slaughter. This is not some kind of conspiracy theory. These are conspiracy facts. I was testifying in the British Parliament. The China Tribunal that was conducted by Jeffrey Nice QC and his band of counsel. He was the prosecuting attorney for Slobodan Milosevic, the Serbian dictator or the Yugoslavian dictator.
Yeah,
these are the UN knows about this. The US has passed resolutions, countless resolutions in the House of Representatives on both sides of the fence in the aisle. So to come out and slander and smear Falun Gong because they have created a media agency to expose the CCP's slaughter and crimes is ridiculous. It's insane. It's, so anyway, that's
it is. It seems like it's a way to for people in the West to virtue signal to China. We're okay with you.
you know, LeBron James, who's like, oh, you know, don't say anything bad about China, you know, or the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, gets fined a bunch of money and suspended because he had the audacity to make a comment about Hong Kong. And so, like, you see where these big U.S. brands, these big entities like professional sports leagues and television networks and things like that, they have to make this calculation about how hard they're going to go after China, because they know that so much of their revenue could be tied to it. You're going to launch a new movie. Well, you got to take the black guy off of the front of the Star Wars poster if you want it to do well in China. I'm like, that's terrible. We're supposed to be Disney. It's supposed to be woke. It's like, do you want to make $0 in China? Take the black guy off, you know? And you're like, so American companies have been, and governments and agencies have been making this calculation for a while about how hard they can actually go after China. And I think if you bring up peaceful, almost like equivalent of like Tai Chi practicing, clean living, good human beings being rounded up, harvested for their organs, and sold on the black market by this same group that's running China, that most definitely will not play well in Beijing. So they can't talk about it, right? Is that the trap?
Exactly. You nailed it. And that's why the demonization, where these people are lost. These people, I don't know where they lost their souls. Was it because of the money they're receiving from communist China? Guess. I mean, come on, Charlie. Can't they see the logic? I mean, to demonize Falun Gong and to demonize the Epoch Times because of the survivors that have lost everything in China to come to America, start a media. It's not like they're going to war with the government. They're law-abiding, God-fearing, professional people that have established media companies, that a media company like New Tang Dynasty Television, the largest American Chinese television station, Epoch Times, that brings out the truth about China. This is not anything bad or harmful. And what wouldn't, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, look at your platform. I mean, you can't be on YouTube for what you say. You can't be on Facebook. You get kicked off nonstop because you're a right-wing conspiracy theorist who loves the truth. A white supremacist, Charlie. You're a bald white supremacist.
I know.
Because come on, man. It's the same boat. We're in the same boat, really.
It's
terrible.
It's understandable, though, because then I feel like they say, well, okay, what can I say about that? What are the worst things I can say about this person or this group to make the average NPC person that's not really paying attention quickly make a decision? Oh, that's bad, or oh, that's good. You know, I could call them white supremacists. That has a really negative tone. And of course, I am the whitest honky on the planet too, so it doesn't really.
Your bald head looks good on you. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Watch out for all the women. They're going to get you.
Thank you. You know, so I mean, like, I don't know. They can call us all these names. They can do all this stuff. They can demonize the Falun Gong, which seems like a losing strategy to me. I mean, of all the people, absolutely, it's kind of hard to like pick them apart for like being awful people. Like, I maybe with the Uyghurs, you could say, well, they're Muslims and you know how Muslims are. But even that is like only weak-minded people would ever believe that, you know. It seems like these are like the nice guys, and you're taking the nice guys and the good guys, and you're using them for human experiments and all of the slave labor, the worst stuff on the planet. And I wish that it wasn't true, but let's end it with this. What is it? What can we do? Obviously, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get spread awareness, and that is going to create, as Ricky Verandas would say, a ripple effect. And we're going to have that conversation, and people are going to hear this, and it's going to be fresh in our minds. But then beyond that, I wonder, where can we put some of our energy to make sure that this doesn't, I mean, I know we can't undo what's happening, but maybe we can stop it. So what do you think?
You know, I just wanted to end the point by saying, you know, nowadays, I mean, I've also heard that black conservatives are now called white supremacists. I mean, there's no limit to how far these radical leftists.
I would consider that to be a badge of honor. If you're black and you get called a white supremacist, man, that's pretty awesome.
It's unbelievable. There's no limit to how far these people will go, and the CCP will go to wipe out something or demonize something. You know, they're very twisted individuals, and unfortunately, this is how it is. This is how. There's nothing that can be done. But for the average person, and for your amazing audience, who are logical, rational, God-fearing, and discerning people. Everyone knows about this. The Congress people know about this. I mean, this has been going on for 23, 25 years, Charlie. They've passed resolutions after resolutions. But what your audience can do, anyone who's listening, can learn the exercises. If anyone's into yoga or meditation, I find it a very attractive practice. I love it because in the morning when I feel stiff from sleeping, or I feel stressed out or anxious after a long day's work, I like to learn the first exercise of Falun Gong, which is stretching. It unblocks all the energy channels. You don't have to be a Buddhist. You don't have to sign up for anything. There's no membership. That's what I love about the organicness of this practice, and I was very attracted to it. Again, I have my faith. I have my beliefs, and no one's going to change that. That's personal between everybody, and this is why it's not a religion. It's not a cult. It's nothing sex. There's no sex or it's not secular or anything. It's an exercise practice, a mind and body spiritual movement that has a philosophy of truthfulness, compassion, tolerance. What I would advise people who are interested in learning about something like this or like yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or meditation, check out the exercises. It's free of charge. www.learnfalungong.com. Learnfalungong.com. Those who are interested in learning about what it is and why it's been persecuted, there's a really good website called endtransplantabuse.org. And I'll send this to you, Charlie. I'll send another site to you, about three or four sites that people can learn. Endtransplantabuse.org. All the reports are there. Those are for mainly the lawyers, doctors, accountants, skeptics out there, because I love the skeptics. They'll question everything until they can confirm that's true. That's what I work for. That's what I live for. And all the skeptics are now coming onto our side because they're seeing the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. It's irrefutable. People can dispute it, but they can't refute it. So endtransplantabuse.org. And then also faluninfo.net, F-A-L-I-N-F-O.net, F-A-L-U-N, info.net, faluninfo.net. But besides that, I mean, discernment, awareness, because the world knows. I've been doing this for 25 years, but the thing that breaks my heart, Charlie, is that people that see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, and are selling out the American people, selling out the Chinese people, and are betraying their conscience for money, for power, and for what? Land? Farmland? Come on now.
We've got to be better than that. It's disgusting. I'm glad we talked about this. I don't want to pretend like it doesn't exist. It's easy to do that. Gets us nowhere. Let's drag it out and let's talk about it. Let's see if we can understand it a little bit better. That's Mitchell Gerber, everybody. Where's the best place for people to find you, to connect with you, see some of your work? Where can they find you?
You know what? I want to let you know, Charlie, thank you, man, for you, because a man like yourself, you know, 3 weeks from now, 2 years from now, when this is all exposed, you're going to sit back and be like, you know what? At least I did the right thing.
Because of course.
To fail to support the good and to fail to expose evil is unacceptable. So
yeah.
People can find me at TruthSeeker077 on Twitter. Everything else has been banned pretty much. I've been shadow banned and banned. But TruthSeeker077 again, learnfalungong.com and faluninfo.net. I'll send you all the websites. But thank you, Charlie. God bless you and your love. Thank you for letting me come on.
Thank you for coming on. All these links will be in the show notes, so everybody can you don't have to write them all down unless you want to. We'll make it easy for you. That's Mitchell Gerber, everybody. I appreciate him coming on and explaining how this all works. I wish we were talking about unicorns and rainbows, but maybe next time. Maybe we'll get this figured out or we'll at least start the process. So if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can catch me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Talk to you all soon.